This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
My hand off our family Bible and inherited a nation, we all did, that was in crisis. The worst pandemic in a century, the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression, the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. Now, after just 100 days, I can report to the nation, America is on the move again.
That was Joe Biden. It was his first address to Congress. Talked about police reform, banning assault weapons, some of the big takeaways, jobs, vaccinations, and what happened in his first 100 days. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, as I said just the other day, happy to be back in the mini facility in the studio off the road from Florida. The observations I made in traveling for the very first time on a plane, being in different airports and maneuvering around three different locations while in the state of Florida. So a lot is being made about being vaccinated and not having to mask outdoors, which I thought we already really knew, but it's just being emphasized, I guess, a little bit more by the CDC. And it's part of the hook or crook way to say, hey, listen, get vaccinated. I mean, that's what the focus is on, is more people being vaccinated, because do we truly know what herd immunity looks like? And there are plenty of people who do not want to be vaccinated. I said on a previous show that I had three pals that don't want to be vaccinated, and they don't think it's a hoax, and they don't think there's computer chips that have been injected into what is being put into people's arms. They have no conspiracy theory at all connected to it. They just feel like they don't need it. I don't want the vaccine. I don't need it. I think it's unnecessary. I've never even taken a flu shot. That was two guys and a woman I know, and they're all in their late 40s, early 50s. So that, I think, was the little snippet of what that joint session of Congress in that first address was about, but it was very small. The president looked back on his first 100 days. He laid out what he said his vision was for the future of the administration and talked a lot about increasing taxes on the rich. If you make over $400,000, you'll be taxed. He emphasized that corporations were getting away with it, that they were not paying any taxes, and that it was all the middle class and lower who were paying the majority of taxes. So you heard that last line. America is on the move again, turning peril into possibility, crisis into opportunity, setback into strength. Life can knock us down, he said, but in America we never stay down. That I agree with. He focused on a couple of benchmarks, and the benchmarks definitely included the vaccination, but that was, again, part of that little tiny piece of that. He talked right about in the beginning the fact that he had two women behind him, and never in our history have two women stood behind the president delivering a joint address to Congress, which, of course, is true, because Kamala Harris is the VP and Nancy Pelosi is the Speaker of the House. So he emphasized that. He talked about women's rights a little bit as far as equal pay in that brief part when he mentioned that two women were behind him in Harris and Pelosi. I think one of the big pushes was urging the reinstatement of assault weapons ban. I mean, that was gone since the 90s and just it didn't get renewed, and he pushed and pressed for that. He implored lawmakers to take urgent action on gun violence in the country. He said it was epidemic in the wake of the multiple deadly shootings this year. He asked Congress to reinstate that ban on assault weapons and high-capacity mags talking about his efforts to do it in 94 as a senator from Delaware, talking about conversations that he had with hunters, saying they said it was absolutely unnecessary. Talked about the flag at the White House flying at half staff for the 8 victims of the mass shootings in Georgia when 10 more lives were taken in a mass shooting in Colorado. And he said in the week between those mass shootings, more than 250 other Americans were shot dead. I mentioned the money part of it because what's in your wallet? Biden pushed Congress to raise taxes again on the rich and corporations, saying they need to pay. They need to pay their fair share. He said, I'm not looking to punish anyone. I'm proposing what's fair. It's fiscally responsible. Now, in his plan, raising the taxes on the wealthy would pay for that $1.8 trillion American Families Plan, which is the package that includes paid family leave, free community college, subsidized child care, other proposals to expand the social safety net. And he kept emphasizing the number is this, $400,000. If you make more than $400,000, your taxes go up versus in the other direction. He talked about immigration. He talked about, which of course it has been horrific during this first 100 days, the drama that we've seen at the border, the kids being dropped off, the cramming in at some of the locales, not being able to process the single adults at the U.S.-Mexico border. He didn't focus on the challenges. He focused on pushing Congress to pass immigration legislation, which he said would create a pathway to citizenship for 11 million people living in the United States without citizenship. Without citizenship. So there was that big chunk of it. I think there was a chunk of that. And it was, again, about moving forward mostly, is what I would say. Now, the rebuttal to Biden's speech, we'll let you hear more snippets of it throughout the show where he talks specifically about a couple of other things. But Tim Scott's rebuttal to Biden was, America is not a racist country. He said, he did a 15-minute rebuttal, and he's the only African-American Republican in the Senate, and this is a huge moment for the GOP because they're trying to find holes in Biden's a little bit of popularity bump, I would say, and the narrow majorities the Dems have in Washington. So he didn't downplay Scott racial and ethnic differences, but said Democrats ignore the country's strides over the past century for political and financial gain. He said, hear me clearly, America is not a racist country. And he claimed that there is unity in the country's diversity, claiming that Republicans have supported policies that have reformed the criminal justice system and opened the economy to all Americans regardless of race. And saying just before COVID, we had the most inclusive economy in my lifetime. He talked about the lowest unemployment rate ever recorded for African Americans, Hispanics, and Asians, and a 70-year low nearly for women, saying that wages were growing faster for the bottom 25% than the top 25%. And he said that happened because Republicans focused on expanding opportunities for all Americans. And Scott, of course, was chosen as the lawmaker to respond to the president, you know, his, again, address to the joint Congress. And this is a critical time, certainly, for our nation and for the South Carolina senator who absolutely was in the spotlight by being the one chosen to do the rebuttal. More on Biden's speech coming up around the bend.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
The American Jobs Plan will put engineers and construction workers to work building more energy-efficient buildings and homes. Electrical workers, IBEW members, installing 500,000 charging stations along our highways so we can own the electric car market. Farmers planting cover crops so they can reduce the carbon dioxide in the air and get paid for doing it. Look, think about it. There is simply no reason why the blades for wind turbines can't be built in Pittsburgh instead of Beijing. No reason. None. No reason. So, folks, there's no reason why American workers can't lead the world in the production of electric vehicles and batteries. I mean, there is no reason. We have this capacity. We're the brightest, best-trained people in the world. The American Jobs Plan is going to create millions of good-paying jobs, jobs Americans can raise a family on, as my dad would then say, with a little breathing room. And all the investments in the American Job Plan will be guided by one principle: buy American. Buy American. And I might note parenthetically, that does not violate any trade agreement. It's been the law since the 30s. Buy American. American tax dollars are going to be used to buy American products made in America to create American jobs. That's the way it's supposed to be, and it will be in this administration. And I made it clear to all my cabinet people, their ability to give exemptions has been strenuously limited. It will be American products. Now, I know Some of you at home are wondering whether these jobs are for you. So many of you, so many of the folks I grew up with, feel left behind, forgotten, in an economy that's so rapidly changing. It's frightening. I want to speak directly to you, because you think about it. That's what people are most worried about. Can I fit in? Independent experts estimate the American jobs plan will add millions of jobs and trillions of dollars to economic growth in the years to come. It is a 8-year program. These are good paying jobs that can't be outsourced. Nearly 90% of the infrastructure jobs created in the American jobs plan do not require a college degree. 75% don't require an associate's degree. The American Jobs Plan is a blue-collar blueprint to build America. That's what it is.
All right, so that's a big chunk of what Biden talked about the blue-collar workers, about jobs, jobs, jobs. That was a very big takeaway from this speech. And I think this is when Senator Ted Cruz fell asleep during the address to Congress, because this was a very small crowd, social distance, 200, where normally you'd have like about 1,000 perhaps there. Instead, you had 200. So now you look at the overall scope of this and you look at Senator Tim Scott's Republican rebuttal to the address to Congress, touting the things that he said had already happened, and saying that we are a nation that is not racist. That was a major, major emphasis, as I said in the last segment. But I think the takeaways from this are about spending, and who's paying the freight part of that for more money. More money, tax the rich, give to the poor, trillions more in the middle with the forgotten workers was an overall arching theme of this speech, without a doubt. Has it been well received? It depends on where you are. It depends on what's happening in your neck of the woods. I always say it, right, that this show is about the buzz in your backyard. But it is about finding the money, right? When you, as we've seen with other presidents, both Republicans and Democrats, there is always the platitudes and the speeches that where you talk about America being the greatest country and on the face of the earth and et cetera. But what's in between the meat and what this gets baked into, I think, is something that you see afterwards. What happens? What's implemented? What doesn't work? Corporations will, of course, freak out because they had just gotten a break and they're not liking it already. There's a lot of pushback with that. And people who are making more than $400,000 are not going to like being taxed more, to which the president says, tough, you're not paying enough. And I'm not trying to punish anyone, but the trickle down never worked. I mean, that was one of the tricky lines that he definitely used. He said trickle down economics has never worked. It's time to grow the economy from the bottom and the middle out. So that was the focus of the speech, the bottom and the middle out. He took a shot at the Trump administration's tax reform of 2017. He said, look, the big tax cut of 2017 was supposed to pay for itself. That's how it was sold, and generate vast economic growth. Instead, it added $2 trillion to the deficit. And he said specifically, it was a huge windfall for corporate America and those at the very top. Instead of using the tax savings to raise wages and invest in research and development, it poured billions of dollars into the pockets of CEOs. And the pay gap between CEOs and the workers is now the largest in history. That is true. Certainly not every company, but there are a handful of companies at least where you can, that's public information, and you can see it because there's been a lot of stories written about that, certainly in the past. And he said the pandemic has made things worse. 20 million Americans lost their jobs in the pandemic, working and middle class Americans. At the same time, 650 billionaires in America saw their net worth increase by more than $1 trillion in the same period. So This is part of that conversation. This is part of that conversation because we live in a capitalist society. How much is too much? Is creed good? Is it just good for some? And at the same time, how much does our deficit increase, and can it really be paid for by these taxes? Is it purely about corporate taxes and people making a certain amount of money where that increase, if you do the math, will work out in the favor of, oh, okay, well, this is creating no debt, but it's infuriating a lot of other people. But if we look at balancing the scales, all right, is that what's going to happen here? She said with a sarcastic tone, because the problem is I've never seen that work. So I agree with the trickle down. It really hasn't worked. In theory, you think it would. And in some companies and in some cases, it did work in individual cases, but not across the board. It didn't work across the board. All right, to be sure, we'll be talking about this speech, I'm sure, bits and pieces of it as we traverse through the rest of the week. But there's a couple of other things I wanted to mention here because it's significant. Three men have been indicted on hate crime, which is so tough to nail someone for anyway, and kidnapping charges in connection with the Ahmaud Arbery death, if you remember that, in Georgia. He was a 25-year-old black man. He was out for a jog near Brunswick, Georgia, on February 23rd, 2020, when he was chased down by a truck by three men and fatally shot. Two of the three, Gregory and Travis McMichael, claimed to be conducting a citizen's arrest and acted in self-defense. There was a third man, William Brian Jr., who recorded video of the death, allegedly hit Arbery with his truck after he joined them in the chase. So all three were charged with one count of interference with rights and with one count of attempting kidnapping. One step closer to justice is what Arbery's mother, Wanda Cooper Jones, told CNN, saying they did the investigation properly. They came out with those indictments, so we were pleased by what they found. And it's really, really tough with hate crime. So it's unusual. It's hard to prove. It gets thrown around, but it's very, very, very tough. All right, hang with us because we're going to the Man Cave next. We have a great giveaway I'm going to tell you about. Plus, wow, Bryce Harper takes a fastball to the face. How'd that happen and how's he feeling now?
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with. And then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical-free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Speaking to a joint session of Congress Wednesday night, President Joe Biden touted efforts to vaccinate Americans against COVID-19. He urged people to go get vaccinated.
90% of Americans now live within 5 miles of a vaccination site. Everyone over the age of 16, everyone is now eligible to get vaccinated right now, right away. Go get vaccinated, America.
And the FBI has executed search warrants at the home and office of former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, with agents seizing computers and cell phones from the properties. The personal lawyer of former President Donald Trump has been under a federal investigation into his business dealings in the Ukraine. Giuliani has said that those investigations are politically motivated. You're listening to USA Radio News. The field to possibly replace California Governor Gavin Newsom is growing. Lance Pry has that story.
With more than 1.6 million valid signatures, the California governor recall became official, and Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom will face a yet-to-be-determined number of contenders later this year. At least nine people have declared their intentions to run, including Caitlyn Jenner, the Olympian and transgender activist, former San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner, and businessman John Cox. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
And Apollo 11 astronaut Michael Collins has died. Collins was part of the three-man crew who traveled to the moon in 1969, orbiting the moon in the command module Columbia while Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walked on the surface. An Air Force fighter pilot, Collins joined NASA in 1963 and first went into space on the Gemini 10 mission in 1966. Apollo 11 was his final spaceflight. He later went on to become the director of the National Air and Space Museum. Michael Collins was 90. This is USA Radio News.
CardioFX from Yogevity is designed specifically to promote optimal heart health. That's why Ben Fuchs recommends it.
You might want to think about using the Ultimate Cardio FX, which is a source of taurine. Each capsule in the Cardio FX has got a good dose of the B vitamins. It's got four major B vitamins in there, vitamin B12, niacin, vitamin B6, and folic acid. Numerous research studies have shown that the B vitamins and homocysteine, that toxic chemical that builds up in the body under B vitamin deficiency states, numerous studies have talked about lowering homocysteine as being far more relevant for protecting the heart than cholesterol numbers. If I was dealing with heart disease, I would be making sure I was getting enough B vitamins, I was getting enough vitamin C before I even thought about dealing with cholesterol or LDL or HDL.
If you're concerned about the health of your heart, order CardioFX from Yogevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470. Or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com.
I'm going to the man cave.
Going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. I'm going to the man cave. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Going to the man cave. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Man cave, man cave, man cave, man cave.
Man cave. And the low man cave as well. And before we get into Bryce Harper and the fact that he got slammed in the face with a fastball, it's one of those comebacker things. The NFL draft is coming up on Thursday. Plus, in between all of that, you got horse racing. It's the Race for the Roses. It's the Kentucky Derby, my favorite. And so we'll chat about that too. But I have a great giveaway. You ready for this? New York Times bestselling author John Grisham takes you to a much different kind of court in Sully, his first basketball novel. Samuel Sully Suleiman is a raw young talent with big hoop dreams, even bigger challenges off the court. Gripping and moving, Sully showcases John Grisham's unparalleled storytelling powers in a whole new light. It's John Grisham at the top of his game. It's available wherever books are sold. We're giving 25 lucky listeners the chance to win a copy of his latest novel, Sully, as I said, plus one grand prize winner will get a Grisham Sportsbook Library consisting of his novels. So it would be the new one, Sully, Bleachers, Calico Joe, and Playing for Pizza. I've read all of those. Not Sully, that I'm reading that now. So to enter, go to KateDelaneyRadio.com. KateDelaneyRadio.com and just say, I'm in, and your name, I'm in. It's that easy, and you could be the person who wins the whole library, and those books are fabulous, but at least you could also win a copy of the book as well. So, yay! And we'll be doing that when we go into the man cave for the next couple of weeks, and then that's it. So jump on it. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. All right, so let's talk about Bryce Harper. He was hit in the face by a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. Can you imagine? I've seen some of these comebackers, but I've never seen anything like that in my life of all the years I covered baseball. Drilled in the left cheek by a left-handed reliever, Genesis Cabrera's first pitch in the sixth inning. So it wasn't a comebacker to him. It was him getting hit when he was at the plate, so not to confuse everyone. The all-star slugger picked himself up, walked off the field, blood dripping from a cut on the side of his nose. Cabrera hit D.D. Gregorius in the ribs with another fastball in his next pitch. Phillies manager Joe Girardi came out of the dugout to argue with the plate umpire and was ejected. So it was an insane bit of chaos. And Harper was okay afterwards. You know, he's in the third year of a $330 million 13-year deal. He entered the game hitting .329, so he's been hot, including .432 over his last 10 games. He's hitting everything. And it was nasty. You could see just the blood. And they did a CAT scan and checked him, and apparently he's okay, thank goodness, because it was scary. Somebody texted me and said, you got to look at this. And I went and looked at it. I guess that's why I thought initially, because they kept saying comebacker. I'm like, well, how could that be? Because it wasn't even his it didn't make any sense. But anyway, I have never seen anything like that either. I've seen definitely guys take it in the dirt. I've seen guys get hit, but not the way this pitch was, like a BB. I have no idea how that wasn't worse. It's thank goodness it wasn't worse, because it was scary to watch it, that's for sure. All right, the NFL draft is coming up, so we'd be talking about this in the Man Cave. It's in Cleveland, and one of the things that's already happened is the Panthers are sending quarterback Teddy Bridgewater to the Broncos, his fifth NFL stop since he was drafted by the Vikings in 2014. There was so much upside about Bridgewater, but he's had some problems. He's had some health issues, too. The Broncos, who are desperate for a quarterback, are taking a chance on Bridgewater. He got seven rounds of the NFL draft coming up. Round one, Jacksonville Jags, the Jets, San Francisco 49ers. They got that pick from the Texans through the Dolphins. At the four slot, because the first round is pretty important, the Falcons. The fifth is the Bengals. The Dolphins, they got that from the Eagles. Seventh is the Detroit Lions. Eight, the Panthers. Nine, Broncos. 10, the Dallas Cowboys. 11, the Giants. 12, Eagles from 49ers through the Dolphins. 13, the Chargers. 14, the Vikings. 15, the Patriots. Cardinals, Raiders, Dolphins, Washington football team, Chicago Bears. That's your top 20. And there's more in the first round. But it'll be, you know, it goes all the way up to 32. And then you get into the second round, and this is a couple of days. The first round is Thursday. Rounds two and three take place on Friday. Rounds four through seven on Saturday. It's always fun to watch the draft, at least the first round to me, and then kind of tune in here and there. So Jacksonville with the first pick, Trevor Lawrence, you know, the prospect of Trevor Lawrence, and he's so good that he's the guy who kind of lured Urban Meyer out of retirement. So you think of, you know, you think of that talent, and sometimes that number one pick is not used correctly. Sometimes there's so much upside, and then there isn't a connect once they become a pro. But I like Trevor Lawrence. I think he'll be taken first, no doubt, absolutely, by Jacksonville, and it's a good pick. The Jets also need a quarterback, so they're probably going to go with Zach Wilson. But I'm not sure, because of the quarterbacks that are left, Justin Fields maybe goes to the 49ers. That makes more sense. And then you get into, some of the other key players, just for the way they performed on the field in college, and the position that they'll get, the position to fill the needs that they'll get picked in. But I think the first couple of quarterbacks will go toward the top. It makes sense if you look at what the team is looking for. You know, the Patriots with their 15th pick, the quarterback, right? And so they've got a hole there. The highest quarterback maybe drafted by Bill Belichick could be Mac Jones, right? Because they got to figure out a way to win without Tom Brady. He does fit. The way he plays could fit with the Patriots. And so then he would compete with Cam Newton probably for the starting job. That's kind of how Belichick rolls. So that makes sense to me that that's what we would see. That's what you would see happen. But that's just at first blush a few quick observations on the draft. The Kentucky Derby. I cannot even believe that the Kentucky Derby is here, but it is. It's here, right? So the 147th Run for the Roses happens on Saturday at Churchill Downs. And my family, this was a you-cannot-miss-this thing. You know, we would race home from wherever we were, and I've been to the Derby, but we would race home to go and watch this together. My family would do that. So post time is 6:57 Eastern, and, you know, you look at the bets, because that's what it's about, right? The long shot. And piecing horses together and what you do there. But if you look at win, place, and show, boy, I've looked at different horses. And I've looked at the jockeys because I like to look at the jockeys too. And I don't know. I like some of the long shots. But, again, you usually don't see those long shots win, so I'm not sure. You look at essential quality. You look at highly motivated. These are some horses that I'm just going to tell you the horses I'm looking at. So I like the name, and I like the horse, Rock Your World. Very great on the dirt, dominant in one of my favorite races, the Santa Anita Derby. And the prep races have been good. So I like the name of the horse too, Rock Your World. Then I like Bourbonic. And it just is this is a horse trained by Todd Pletcher, who I like. He has always good horses in the Derby. He's got speed. I might go in that direction, right? And I think some other people would probably pick Bourbonic. And this is a horse that can sit back a little bit and then lean in and come around that final turn and just fly down the stretch. And I bet a lot of people will probably pick that horse. Less people will pick Rock Your World. I think others will pick Essential Quality too. Essential Quality is maybe the best horse in the pack. Good chance that a lot of people would say that this is a horse who's running really, really well, and this is a horse that has a great shot. For long shots, name-wise, because you're just taking a shot in the dark, right? For long shots, I like Midnight Bourbon. Midnight Bourbon. And that is a truly long shot. Some like Helium. I've looked at what writers have said who cover horse racing day in and day out, and some like the horse Helium. So, again, a horse that could surprise you that might be able to come from the back of the pack, but you're asking a lot. I still think it's the favorites, it's the favorites, it's the favorites when you look at the Kentucky Derby. So, you know, I'm going with one of the... I'm going with the couple that I said, and I'm going to probably decide on race day. I like Rock Your World. I like that name. I just feel like I can't step away from a horse that was so dominant in the Santa Anita Derby, and I know most people are not going to pick Rock Your World. So that's it. I've just decided. Rock Your World, Essential Quality, and Bourbonic. That's it. Win, place, and show. You got mine. What's yours? Stay with us.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes,
and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Radomir Wojciech Luza joins us now. He's written a book called Heiress of Angels, and we had such an interesting conversation off the air. I've spent time in L.A., and he spent a lot of time in L.A. It's a collection of poetry and prose. Rado, thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. I got nothing else to do on this Thursday in a nursing home, so I might as well be with you.
Well, we're happy to have you. Tell us why you wrote the book.
Well, it's a tribute to Los Angeles, nothing more, nothing less, but it also talks a lot about love and metaphysics and philosophy and romance and politics. There's some sports thrown in, and in the middle of the book, there's about 15 to 20 poems that talk about what it's like to be lonely and homeless, which I was when I first got here to Los Angeles, and I think the poems are so heartbreaking and immensely raw and naked that they rip your soul and your gut out and you want to read it just for those 15 or 20 poems. And the fact it's a tribute to Los Angeles, it's a great town, it's a beautiful city, but if you're not careful, it can really, really hurt you as well. There's ups and there's downs like any place else, but you have to be careful to kind of find the middle ground, the balance, to kind of find your own chi, so to speak, your own karma, and not go too far into any extreme.
Yeah, and so what brought you to Los Angeles those many years ago, and what happened that you had to pull yourself up from a situation that you were in where you found yourself homeless?
Well, I came to Los Angeles in 2006, which is 15 years ago, exactly 15 years, to mainly to pursue the acting, the industry, because I'm a SAG-AFTRA, Actors Equity, a union actor. And I was in New York, I was in the New York area living in Jersey City, but I had an awful divorce with my ex-wife, and her name is Monica, but anyway, I won't give out her last name. And, I was heartbroken and I was lonely and I was living here and, I just ran out of money. I only brought a certain amount of money out here and I ran out of it because I was staying in motels and hotels and having to pay for food. And so I ended up living in Skid Row at the shelters there. And that was quite bad, but the people there, especially the African American people, they got me through. They always say, white boy, you're going to make it. White boy, you're going to get through. And I believed them, and I did get through, and my dad helped me out. And it was really an unwelcome situation, but it was also welcome because I got to see the underbelly, so to speak, of Los Angeles. And that's a lot of what I write about is the underbelly of Los Angeles. It's a tribute to Los Angeles, but in a sort of a way that I write about the underbelly and the shortcomings of the city as well as the positive points and the triumphs of the town.
Yeah, you write about Hollywood. You talk about, like as you said, LAX. One of your poems, LAX Baggage Claim.
Boy, yeah, it's one of my favorites. Yeah,
yeah, I've had experiences there, so I laughed out loud thinking that how many times I went through LAX. And it's interesting. You talk about Santa Monica. You talk about you know, music, and you talk about Red Velvet. It's interesting too because we talked off the air, and you mentioned comedy, and you mentioned, you know, what it was like to race to a comedy club. So you certainly had some high moments too, where you had some successes. Tell us about that.
Yeah, there was some successes. I just did a lot of not a lot, but a few gigs or sets over at the Comedy Store. But I can't say I'm very fond of the club. They seem very interested more in making money than in talent. But anyway, that was a success, and I've published now about 13 or 14 books here of poetry. That's been really good. I've had a chance to do that. I've got two books coming out in the next this year. Onyx Rose is a collection of poetry and prose published by Christian Faith Publishing in Meadville, Pennsylvania. That's coming out this year. And Copper Carnation, a collection of poetry published by Author House. That's coming out this year. They're in Bloomington, Indiana. I also started with a friend of mine, Marianita Mann. I started a poetry reading about 10 years ago called Unbuckled NoHo, in other words, North Hollywood poetry. And that's been a real success. We've had a lot of really talented LA and other people come through there, feature and do the open mic, and it's been a real success. And it's really talented and gifted and interesting and just interested the people in poetry and in the verse and in the written word and the spoken word come through there and make a name for themselves and just make us fall to the ground like a leaf listening to their words.
And so with all the things that you've written and now the success of the poetry that you started in North Hollywood, the fact that you give people the opportunity there, what do you hope people take away from reading Eros of Angels, a collection of poetry and prose?
That they're touched and moved by it to make a better life for themselves, that to become, I don't want to say better people, but more rounded people, more balanced people, people that are more in touch with themselves and society and civilization and God, and who put a hand out to other people, who help other people in need, who love other people, who understand what the meaning of love is, that to me love is God and God is love, that they'll read the book and they'll fly to L.A. and they won't look at it as a superficial, materialistic town, but a place where they can find themselves and a place where they can learn to find their core and their middle and their soul and their heart and their very being and never ever look back.
I like that thought. So in the end, you know, we started with you moving to L.A. and what that was like and people helping you. Was it worth it for you to move to L.A.?
Yeah, because I've been through so much trouble just to stay here that I think God must have it in his crossword puzzle for me to stay here and for me to live here, because it took so much effort out of me just to stay here that those first few weeks that I think there must be some reason that it took that kind of effort and struggle and challenge, and that is that I think I'm supposed to be here. And I was supposed to be living here. And I was supposed to be giving here. And I was supposed to be sharing here. And I was supposed to be looking around for my next result and challenge and a creative effort.
Yeah, I like that. Eros of Angels, a collection of poetry and prose. Radomir Wojciech Luza, thank you so much for joining us. You can get the book on Amazon.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kate. You're a delight, and I hope your audience got something out of this, besides me woken up early on a Thursday morning. And I really want to thank you very much for this. God bless you, and I hope you we get to meet sometime and we get to chat. And thank you very much. You're very delightful and very nice lady.
Thank you, Rado. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
All right, how interesting talking to Rado. He's got his finger on the pulse, I think, of really what it's like to move to L.A., that whole idea of the dreams of getting there from other parts of the country and the draws. He was talking about what people don't know about L.A., but the draw of the entertainment business and how tough it really is to make it. And a lot of his poetry focuses on that, and he talked about leaving the East Coast, and he's got a poem called I Left My Heart in New York City, and I'm Not Sure I'll Get It Back. And that's something to read, that and Hollywood Holla and Hollywood in general. And he really, again, nails what it's like to make that kind of a move and then to be there and feel what it's like to live in a city like Los Angeles. And it's a great read. And if you are a fan of poetry, he absolutely, absolutely has the gift. So once again, you can get his book, Eros of Angels, a collection of poetry and prose. You can get that on Amazon.com. Thanks for listening to this interview, and thanks for listening to the show. Make it count, everybody.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.